Hello, this is Ashley. Welcome to the Through Every Season podcast. Everyone is welcome here, and it's a safe space for you to explore your faith in God. We all go through different journeys in life. That includes highs, lows, and everything else in between. Grab a drink of the day, a snack, and take a seat. We'll help you walk through every season. So welcome, Shelby, to the Through Every Season podcast. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today, just to talk about your testimony and to talk about your story and to reach other people. Would you mind introducing yourself to everyone?
Yeah, sure. Thanks so much. I am Shelby. I'm from Austin, Texas. I have been through a lot of back and forth in my faith walk and my following in Jesus. But recently I came to a much more profound and deeper love for God and the faith. And I'm excited to share it all with you guys.
I'm really excited to get into it with you today. But of course, before we get into the meat and potatoes of the podcast, we do drink of the day around here. Everybody knows that. So Shelby, do you have a drink that you're sharing with us today?
I'm drinking coffee from the pot, freshly brewed.
Freshly brewed coffee from the pot. So what type of coffee girly are you? Are you like, I'm going to drink it black? Like, how do you like your coffee?
I like it creamy. I just need some good, like, almond milk creamer or half and half in there, and that's about it. Sometimes I like to add honey if I want a little extra sweetness, but that's about it for me. I keep it simple and creamy.
Okay. And then you were to get your coffee out, what would be your coffee place of choice?
I like Summer Moon.
Okay, you got Texas thing?
Yeah, it's a local coffee place in Austin, Texas. It's called Summer Moon. They have like a special concoction that's called Moon Milk. They won't give away their like ingredients, but it's really good.
Usually when I record with people, it is in the evening. So I never have coffee. And so I'm usually drinking like a sparkling water or a mocktail or something of that sort. But today I have a coffee. And so I'm an espresso girly. After I got introduced to Nespresso, I can't have like anything else. Like, it's like I have to drink like espresso based coffee beverages, because a lot of other things, they just taste so watery now. So if you're thinking about getting an espresso, and I might have talked about this on the podcast previously, the pro is it's really great quality coffee. The con is, depending on your taste buds, it may ruin other coffee for you. So I like to give that disclaimer, but I make homemade lattes at home. I have like a little milk frother. I've definitely been into iced coffees. It's hotter temps in Ohio right now where I'm located. I know in Texas, like I'm not going to complain about the heat that much today, because I know it's probably like 10 to 15 degrees hotter there than it is here, but it's iced coffee season for me. So I have a homemade iced caramel latte.
Sounds so good. I love Nespresso too. I've tried those lattes before. The texture is just amazing.
Yes, it does have really good texture, and I like the frothiness that it has on the top just from the coffee. We're going to go ahead and kind of introduce what we're going to talk about today. We've already said that we're going to talk about Shelby's testimony. We're going to talk about her story with finding Jesus, but some of the topics that we're going to talk about today within Shelby's story is grief, New Age, in finding Jesus. And we haven't talked about New Age on the podcast yet, and it's a very, very hot topic right now. So I'm really excited to get into it. So we're just gonna dive right in. We're gonna get right into it. So Shelby, you had shared that you did grow up within the church. You grew up specifically within the Baptist church or the Baptist community. What was that like for you growing up within the Baptist church?
It was very hot and cold for me, especially when it came to like my walk in my faith. I mean, part of it was I was forced into it a lot of the times, and being forced into the faith is usually a good way to turn a person off. And then also just within the church, specifically the first church I went to, there was a big split. So after my parents had me and moved into their first house, some of the members of this church came to their house and invited them to come. because my parents weren't believers at that time. And so they started going to church and they were raising my brother and I there. And I remember I was very young and there was a big split in the church because of something that the pastor had done. And some people stayed and a lot of people left. And then we moved to a different church, and that was really hard on my mother. I remember she complained a lot about how judged she felt and how gossiped she felt about. Then I felt like an outcast. Like I didn't feel like I was ever included with the youth group and with the kids there. It just was hard for me to really connect to that community. And, there were times where, you'd go to church camp and you'd have like a great experience and it was very reviving. And then times where you just be discouraged by things you found out about from other members. And so I experienced the church hurt. I've been there. And anyways, I was caught and cold with my faith. There were times when I got older, I just started to completely reject God. And I was just wanting to do things my own way. And I just became very rather strong-willed and just selfish, honestly. And it was hard to have a foundational, like, understanding of, and a mature understanding for me of what and who God really is.
It really hurts to hear when there are church communities that they hurt their members, especially families, which I would argue is the solid foundation for any church, because of course you're wanting people to bring their families and then raising generations within the church, being welcoming to youth, having that firm foundation for youth, growing up in Christ. Like, it's supposed to be, families are a really big firm foundation for churches, or they're supposed to be. And to hear that you were treated unfairly, you were gossiped about, which is not supposed to happen. Christians aren't supposed to gossip. I understand we all do it from time to time, especially women. We are very prone to that. We love some tea and we'll admit it. But to make other people feel unwanted and to make people feel rejected or not included within church, I just don't feel that that is right. So I'm sorry that you experienced that growing up.
Yeah, I've made my peace with it, but thank you.
As a child, of course, you grew up active within the Baptist church. You were baptized when you were 7 or 8 or a young child within the Baptist church. Do you feel that you had any concept or any relationship with God at that time?
I don't think so. Not like complete, no. I think I had a lot of struggles with my home life, and that altered a lot of my like faith and belief. So like things like that made it really hard for me. And understanding and like being led to know who Christ is just was like being led by my father. He struggled with that, and my mom, I mean, she had to be the leader in the household. She had to be the one to teach us about Jesus. I remember every Easter and every Christmas in the Bible, she would pull it out and she would, read about, the story of when Jesus was resurrected and then when Jesus was born and stuff. And, things like that were there, but just only really around the holidays, around Easter and Christmas, was when I remember my mom reading us the Bible. Outside of that, not really. I think that connection just made it harder for me to be as plugged in the faith outside of that. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I think a lot of people who grew up within churches, especially churches that are more traditional, I think it can be hard for them to have a relationship with God, because growing up, you learn a lot of like the core and you learn a lot of traditions, and this is what's practiced. This is the structure of church. This is what we do. We go in and out and we do these things and we say these prayers and we do these things on these days during the year. So it's almost like, have all these check boxes that I need to check off, and it's less focus on I need to figure out what it means to be a Christian and have a relationship with God outside these walls of a church.
Yeah. And I think it was around the time I was in my like teenage years that I started to really develop and have that relationship with Jesus.
So kind of diving into your early adulthood. So you had previously mentioned that it was when you were a young adult that you kind of dabbled in some new age practices. In your own words, what does new age mean for people who aren't exactly familiar with that phrase?
It's really, a lot of it is Eastern practices and beliefs. It can be occult practices and beliefs. And that's the best way I can describe it. Like anything that comes from like ancient religions, pagan religions, stuff like that.
All right. No, I think that's a really good description. It truly is really broad. Like there's a lot of different practices within New Age. So it is very hard to pinpoint, well, this is, you know, one singular definition of New Age. But yeah, it does have that pagan root and that pagan background that is even described in the very, very early days of the Bible. So we'll dive into more of that. And then of course, Shelby's experience with New Age. So as we already said, a lot of different practices within New Age. It can look different for a lot of different people. What practices did you personally experiment with?
Where it really started was like using like the crystals. And then from there, it went to tarot cards, like doing the tarot cards. I had been in a relationship and I had been living with them at the time, and he ended up leaving after talking about getting married, and it just completely, I mean, broke my heart. But now I'm like so grateful. I'm so grateful I'm not with that person. They were just holding me back anyways, and it was just idolizing this relationship, idolizing this person. Looking back now as a believer, and I can see where we just went way off the deep end with falling in love with the wrong person that was not leading me to Christ. And so it just completely devastated me because I put this person on a pedestal, and we went from talking about marriage 1 month, and then the next month he breaks up and leaves the relationship. So I got into using tarot cards to try to help me have some like understanding of what was going on, to try to help me like heal from that hurt. It was just like a slow, like one thing after the other, just taking like little bite-sized bits of these practices, that just deception after deception after deception, that it made me feel good. And it's kind of like a drug, you know, you get hooked on people, how people get hooked on drugs. They start with one little thing, and then next thing you know, you can spiral. Starting with like these little bitty things, and then I got into yoga, I got into like Wiccan practices and beliefs, I got into like the quantum field, like work, like that's doing manifestation, that's working with law of attraction, things like that. And then I got into what's called human design. And that's a mixture of a lot of like, it's like Islamic practices, Kabbalah. I have to like allow the Holy Spirit to truly like wash me from that and cleanse me from that. So I've forgotten a lot of it, honestly. A lot of it just led me to self-worship, to worshiping myself. And then I also got into a lot of like earth, Mother Earth worship. Finding myself, you know, feeling this profound, deep connection to Earth and to like, it was all like this universe, belief of universalization. We're all one, we're all connected to the Earth. Everything is just intertwined in the world. And I made all these connections to that. It takes you deeper and deeper. And I got to the point to where I had a friend that she was doing something called quantum time technique, and it's a way to like release six big emotions, and you're tapping into like ancestral things. And it completely wrecked me because I started to have demonic attacks. I mean, that's a reality. Like the spiritual warfare is a reality, and being someone that experienced that and witnessed that, it was terrifying. I was trying to take a nap one day, and just in my mind were just these very intense visions of very horrid and horrible things happening to me. I'm not going to go into details because it can be triggering. So I just want to keep it vague. But I mean, I remember screaming in my bed just under these brutal, horrible attacks. There are other things that happened too. So it just, I was under this like possession almost, if you, I will say probably possession of this evil that you think it's so light and it's so innocent at first, you don't even realize.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing with New Age is that it always presents itself as light. You hear that a lot. I'm being a light, or I'm
Or
searching
being a
for my.
light worker, yeah.
But actually it's filled with a lot of darkness because it's not from God, and a lot of little innocent things are actually New Age practices, and you listed a lot of them from the different quantum work. You had mentioned crystals. That seems very innocent, but it's kind of like having a little idol, like little carved idols that they have in the Bible. I think you had also worshiping earth, manifestation. Everybody's saying that they're manifesting things nowadays, and I'm like, I'm gonna pray on it. But that's a huge phrase right now, especially within social media. I think you kind of described, and you can correct me on this, Reiki healing. Was that kind of what you were describing earlier?
Reiki,
With the human, you call you was it human design work that you were
yeah,
talking about?
human design. Yeah, that's it is a, what was the description they used for? I think it was like the science of differentiation. And it used like, you know, quantum physics, astrology, Kabbalah. There's a list, and I actually remember reading an article one day and found out it was actually Islamic Satanist group that I think was practicing it or starting it.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Really.
And it comes off as innocent. Like it does come off as like very like, no, like this, I believed it was really helping me with a lot of things because you're able to understand yourself on a very, very, very like deep level. And I think something that I've been searching for is just understanding who I am. And wasn't until I came to Jesus that I felt that I truly understood.
Identity is a big thing too, especially with astrology. Oh my gosh, that is so, it's been so big, like the last, I'd say, especially 5 years or so. But yeah, there's a lot of things that seem really innocent and really innocent, even within like our modern day and age that you hear people talk about, but it's demonic, and it definitely opens up yourself to being attacked because it's just opening up the door and it's saying, here I am. It's like being a sitting duck when it comes to the enemy. He's gonna use any way that he can to get in. And you did talk about how within your different practices that you did experience some demonic attacks, even potentially possession and being attacked within your sleep too. Did you experience sleep paralysis?
I did.
That's terrifying.
It was terrifying. I experienced it. I think it was twice, but I remember one specific time. It was in 2021. It was right when Texas had that incredible, massive, like, winter storm that we lost power, we lost heat, like, we lost everything for like a week or two. And it was during that time I had sleep paralysis, and I had like heard. I was living in a studio apartment at this time, and I think it was right when the power went out, which was very interesting when you think of it, at the timing of it. It was when the power went out, and sorry, I'm getting my timeline mixed up because there's two different times. So this time it was before the power went out, but there was, it sounded like someone opened up my front door, closed it, and came in, and I woke up. I was awake, but my body was completely, my eyes are wide awake, and I'm hearing all these noises. And for a second, I'm like, maybe it's my cat. She's out running around the room or whatever. But she was actually laying down right in front of my face next to my pillow. So I'm like, okay, the cat's right here. What is going on? And I'm just laying there. I'm just hearing all this. I'm hearing noises in my kitchen, like pots being moved around and stuff like that. I could feel a weight sitting on the foot of my bed, and then I could like sense this very dark presence creeping up next to me, behind me, where I couldn't see my bed. It was so scary. But what was interesting is I really believe that God was, he was right there, because I remember not feeling any fear and didn't let fear take over. But I think it was because God was, he was there. He was there. I actually remember being able to get myself to sit up, you know, going from being completely paralyzed. I actually was able to lift myself up to sitting up. And then it all just like went away as soon as I sat up. All of that noise, all of that, like, you know, the feeling of something sitting there, it just vanished. It's just amazing how even when we're not walking with God, the ways that he still presents himself, the way that he still will show up for you and protect you.
Sleep paralysis is really scary for people to go through. And I think a lot of people don't know that it's a demonic attack. But thank you for talking about your experience, because I know it's probably hard to talk about because it's a really scary time. It can be really triggering too. So thank you sharing that. From your experience, why do you feel New Age seems innocent and even enticing to a lot of people today? What makes it so desirable to a lot of people seeking some form of spirituality?
I can't really speak for other people, because I think that a lot of people that go into that, it's like, it's very much all about self. It's all about like my truth, and I base my beliefs based off of my truth, and that makes them feel good. They're not conforming to any kind of, well, they're not conforming to any like religious doctrine, you know? It's like you make your own doctrine kind of thing, because you are your own master and yada yada. I will say for myself personally is that it's counterfeit Christianity, and that's what I was trying to justify what I was doing by saying, oh, this is in the Bible, this is in the Bible, oh, this is in the Bible, but it's counterfeit Christianity, like in some sense, right? There's, you know, you believe in prayer. You believe in, and I think that's, you know, the devil, he's crafty. He knows how to get you to think that this is okay and this is safe and that it's all right. Like, come, like, it's in the Bible. Come on. And that's what I think was going on with my situation. It can disguise itself as something that does come off as good for you. You think you align with the practices and the beliefs that are going on. But I, over time, like I was working for this chiropractor, I was doing marketing. And during that time, I started to question a lot of what I was doing. Now, my boss is a very godly man. He loves Jesus with all of his heart. He would pray with the staff, he would play worship music in the clinic, and he would even have sheet on the, they would call it them bays, where they would do the adjustments, and he would have prayer request sheets for the patients to write their prayer requests on. And you know, it was his ministry, like his work in helping people with, you know, their physical pain was also his way of spreading and reaching the gospel to them. And a lot of people just loved it. Like they could just tell. Like some people, I don't know if they were believers or not, but a lot of people really appreciated that. And I have, without a doubt in my mind, like that man was praying for my salvation. Because during that time I was working there, I started to question the New Age stuff. I started to read the Bible. I started to pray again, but still kind of going back and forth between New Age stuff and then being in the Bible. But I was really starting to seek God. And just over time, I think God was exposing things to me that were, you know, where I was being deceived. And then in January of 2023, I met my now fiance. At the time, we were just friends, but he had been in the Orthodox Church, and he's just been a strong, strong believer and following God as best as he can. I mean, the first day I met him, I actually told him I would never go to a church again. And it's funny because I actually heard his testimony and hearing him talk about God the way he did. And I was in a place of already seeking and already trying to submit that I felt God just wrap around me and just completely surrendered. And from there, it was just all over. All of the deception, all of the new age stuff, and everything there. I also remember realizing like the term self-seeking was just going over and over in my mind, and I'm like, this is not something I want. Everything that I've been doing has been self-seeking. It has been selfish, it has been narcissistic, it has been just wrong, and that's not who I want to be. And so Christ really truly saved me from that.
I think a lot of people who have practiced New Age will really resonate with your story and they resonate with you because a lot of people who are seeking these practices, they're struggling with who they are. So they're trying to find an identity because as humans, we really love labels. We really, truly do. It's just what we're kind of programmed to do, sadly, is to have labels for things to better understand.
Right.
So I think a lot of people find their identity, kind of what you discussed, in these different practices. But what it is a lot of these practices are telling you who you need to be. This is who you are. This is who you are. This is what your birth chart says. This is what your zodiac sign says. This is what your spirit guides are telling you. Whatever it may be, it's trying to tell you who you are. But when you give your life to Jesus, like what you described, like that is your identity. God shows you, find your identity in me. He's not a God of confusion.
Yes, absolutely. And the New Age can be very, very confusing and
Yeah.
very hard.
Heck, they have like quantum physics in it. Like, I never want to do quantum physics ever. Oh my gosh. Ugh, that's too much. There's no quantum physics in the Bible. Somebody will probably come on and said, oh, actually there is, but I've never heard it been described anyway. So I have noticed, and as I was preparing this podcast for today, something that really stuck out to me was I have noticed, and this nothing's ever 100% or black and white, but a huge representation of people who practice different New Age practices are women. You don't hear as often of men participating. Now, that's not saying that it doesn't happen because that's not true. There are men who definitely are within New Age and then they practice New Age or they dabble here and there. So it's not a 100% saying, but a vast representation are women. As somebody being a woman who kind of participated in New Age, why do you feel that this is very desirable for women to get into? What makes it more desirable maybe for women than men? I know it's a hard question.
That is a hard one. I don't know really how to answer. Actually, a male influenced me more deeper into the new age. I had a male friend that I just like looked at him as my like guru, but I don't really know. I'm stumped on that one. I don't know how to answer that, to be honest with you. And I don't want to try to answer it either and like come up with stuff that's not, you know what I mean? But if I could say, why do I think that is? At least maybe women are easier to manipulate. We're more emotional, so we get more caught up in the feelings about it. It makes us feel good. So like this is what I should go with. That's just my opinion, theory, I guess.
I can see that. There's definitely within New Age, and I think what also entices a lot of women too is there is a sense of woman empowerment. And a lot of people who are feminist also practice New Age practices. Not everybody. I'm gonna have a lot of people get mad at me for saying that, but it is true. A lot of people who are New Age and they're women, they also consider themselves feminists. So they think that it is empowering to do all of these things. When in reality, if you look in the Bible, and this is like one of the biggest misrepresentations in the Bible, and I've talked a little bit about this on my podcast previously, is that there is so much female empowerment in the Bible. So the first person that Jesus revealed himself to was a
Imagine.
woman at the well. It wasn't a man. Like, so there is empowerment within Christianity.
I think so too. I actually, now that you bring that up, yeah, definitely, for because I was also, like, yeah, like I'm empowered because I can be my own like creator, blah blah blah. No, yeah, I think the feminist, and I was involved in that too, and I got caught up in it as well. But now I'm like looking at that and I'm like, oh my gosh, how embarrassing.
You know, it was a different season of your life, and you know what? God knew that you had to go through that to get to him. So,
Right. Yeah,
no
exactly.
shame in our past.
And actually, before I met my fiance, I was praying, asking God to make me a wife. I was like, I want marriage. I want a family. I wanted it so badly. And it was me realizing that I had to be yielded to God and what his word says. And then I met him, and over time we've developed a wonderful relationship, and we're working on getting married soon.
So you had shared, of course, within your story that you started exploring your relationship with God in January of 2023 when you had met your fiance. You were introduced within the Orthodox Church, and since then, you know, you've been on fire for Jesus and you've really developed a strong, beautiful relationship with him. I think a lot of people think that when people come to Jesus, that everything is rainbows, butterflies, unicorns, and that all of a sudden you're going to get all of your hopes and desires, and God's going to be granting you blessings left to right. You get a blessing, you get a blessing, you get a blessing, like Oprah, like back in the early 2000s. But it's definitely not always like that. So for you, when you were a newer Christian, did you experience any tribulations,
Oh,
any
yeah.
spiritual warfare? What was that like for you?
I'm laughing because it was actually the most brutal testing for sure. I mean, I was. So, a little backstory. Mark, my fiance, he and I were starting off as friends, right? And he's been an entrepreneur. He's been a successful business owner for years. Like, he started in high school. And I was getting into it myself. Like, I was wanting to start freelance marketing, and I was wanting to delve into that myself. And so I was taking him as like a mentor to kind of teach me a little bit, right? But as we got to know each other, we realized we both had the same dream of wanting to homestead, of wanting to have land. And so he gives me the opportunity to help him with property management. And he was interested in investing in a property up in New Hampshire. And this is a almost 100-acre property out just in the sticks, you know, but it was beautiful. It's mountains, and it's like 30 minutes from the Canadian border. And so, you know, at this time I'm staying with my parents, I'm doing Rover, I'm dog sitting, and I'm trying to start this business, this freelance opportunity. We go up there, we check it out. We're like, okay, this is great. This is like a dream come true. I was gonna learn how to do property management, and he did like Airbnb and stuff like that. So I wanted to learn that from him too. And we're staying separately, of course. But we go there, we decide to go through with it. I'm like, I have nothing to lose. Leap of faith, you know? And then we're there for a week, and we find out that there's a conservation easement on 85% of the property, of the land. Mark's goal and dream was to build on that land, and his goal was to start like ministry there. And then there's also flooding, because part of the land had, I forgot which river, a river going through it, and he was going to own part of that river as well. But it floods like every year when the snow melts, it all just completely floods. So you can't even do anything. So you are putting a $500,000 investment, and you're going to on what you think you would have access to 100 acres, but you'd really only have access to 12 acres. And that's just not, the ratio of that is just like, why would you do that? We realized like, this isn't a good idea, not a good investment to do. And he had already put in majority of the down payment, and he was able to take out the last of it and cancel that transaction and get that money returned. And over time, the seller was he was still staying So it was kind of set up like an apartment. It was like a downstairs and upstairs, and then there were other structures on the property, like for housing. But they had stayed living in a part of the structure, and they were trying to move to the Philippines, this guy and his wife. And he finds out that we're gonna back out of the contract, which he did not take lightly. He was, a few like loose screws in the head. Let's just say that. He had probably done drug abuse, and I don't know, just the guy was off a little bit. Mark mostly trusted the trust company because he wasn't going through real estate, he was going through a trust company. There was one day where Mark and I had left the building and we went out, and when we had come back, this guy had locked us out and wouldn't let us back in. And my cat was in there, which is my baby. She was a rescue and she's my baby. I love her. And Mark has a pet bird that's in there. All of our personal belongings, personal information, everything is just, it's there. And we're left out on the street. It was during a winter storm. And just our time there, it was like everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. Just in our first like week of being there, Mark got a nail in his foot. He had to go to the walk-in clinic, the what is it? Not emergency room, but like a walk-in clinic, and go get a tetanus shot. And then we got into a car accident, and then it was just like it was brutal and just attack after attack, And so we were locked out of this house. We're trying to figure out what to do. And Mark still had his truck keys, so we're able to get in the truck and get heat from the truck. But we both stayed on the property because we're like, our animals are in there. Like, you can't just leave them there. We had to fight with the guy, fight with the trust company guy to get us our things. But this guy wouldn't even give us water. And I'm trying to remember, it was really hard too. And I was very sleep deprived during a lot of this time. I'm trying to remember, and without getting into too much detail as well. So we had a cop that had helped us in the accident. We ended up getting a hold of the police department, and this cop that helped us picked up the phone. He was like, "Hey, weren't you guys in that accident?" And after we get, our essentials, we drove off and we were trying to figure out what to do. So we're on the phone with this cop, and he gets us a hotel for like 3 nights. It was paid for by the state. And then from there, it was just like trying to figure out like what do we do? We're going to the court, we're going to lawyers, but no one would. It was just like sending us around in circles. There was one lawyer that would have been able to help us, but he was the lawyer of the guy selling the property, so that'd be a conflict of interest. There was lawyers that weren't taking new clients. There was police that didn't even know like how to handle it. They were telling me to go to one station and then telling me to go to one department, and it was a mess. It was just going around in circles for a week, trying to figure out what the heck to do. And it was hard. It was so hard. I mean, this is just a nightmare. You just gave your life to Christ, and like you said, everyone thinks it's sunshine and rainbows, and like God's just gonna give you all this ease and all these blessings, and that couldn't be farther from the truth. I think that's when you go through the most testing, you go through the most hardship, you go through the reality of suffering for Christ and for God to see, I think, how much for you to see for yourself, how much you are really going to follow through. So last year was rough. It was a rough year because even we stayed with some friends that Mark had in Maryland. I stayed with a girl and her mom, and he stayed with his best friend that's up there. It just, dealing with like the mental and the emotional aspect of everything that we went through, it was rough. I was depressed and almost suicidal even, and I just really struggled. And what got me through was just every day being in the Word, every day being in a devotional, every day praying. My best friend Sarah was also in the New Age, and that's how we got to know each other, and we bonded through that. But then she came to Jesus a little bit before I did, and I was on the phone with her like every single day, and she was praying for me. The woman that I was staying with, she was a believer, and so she would take me to church with her. Just the smallest things that God does, like where he shows up in the smallest ways. You really have to look for it when you go through hard stuff like that, when you go through testing like that.
Yeah, I love how you talked about the different hardships that you went through in that first year of giving your life to Christ and the different griefs that you had during that time period. 'Cause yeah, a lot of people think that it's just the door is wide open and here's your heaven on earth right now, and you're gonna get all your blessings. And it's often not like that. We often go through just as many trials and tribulations, if not more, non-believers or people who are not Christians. So thank you so much for talking about that. You said that you were introduced within the Orthodox Church. So for those who aren't familiar with the Orthodox Church, me being one of them, could you talk a little bit about your experience joining the Orthodox Church and a little bit about it?
Of course. Okay, so I'll start with when Mark and I got back into Texas and got back home. We started going to a country Bible church, which is a non-denominational mega Bible church. That's where my best friend Sarah was going, and so she got me plugged in there. And we loved it. I mean, I'd heard about it through my parents because my parents really liked the pastor there. And so, you know, that's where I started to really, really develop my faith. And they have amazing Bible teachings. Like, if y'all ever get the chance, if you want like a little extra, you know, sermon time and Bible, like great Bible teachings. It's so theological and it's so based, and just they love Jesus, and great church. I can't say enough good things about it. I have a lot of respect for them. So I was going there from like June till about January, February of this year. And towards like the ending of my time there, I was having, so Mark grew up in the Coptic Orthodox Church. So that is the Orthodox church that is mostly in Egypt, because Mark is Egyptian. So I was kind of a little like about it at first. I grew up Protestant. That's what I know. That's what I'm comfortable with, you know. Hell Country Bible, it's mostly pretty much a Protestant faith. And it was similar to the Baptist church, but without all the legalism and the judgments and stuff. And I was looking into what the Orthodox believes, and I was keeping an open mind. You know, I mean, this is my significant other. This is what he grew up in. And I want to understand where his beliefs came from. So I'm keeping an open mind, but I was still a little like, I never heard of Orthodoxy before I met Mark and didn't know anything about it. And then he told me about it, and I was like, oh, that's really cool. So started to have this internal conflict with the Bible church. There was a part of me that felt like the Holy Spirit was convicting me, like, this is not how I want you, Shelby, to worship me. And so I started getting more deeper into Orthodox and learning about it. I just loved what I learned. What stood out to me the most, I think, when I was watching this YouTube video, this guy is, he has this like channel where he's a Protestant and he's going to different churches and learning about the churches. It's really cool. So I watched the video where it says a Protestant goes to an Orthodox church. Now he went to I think it was an Antiochian Orthodox church, and listening to the priests talk and listening to the questions this guy was asking and keeping an open mind and just praying and saying, like, God, like, just guide me to your truth. Like, I just want your truth. And one thing that really stood out to me. Now, in scripture, it says, deny yourself, take up your cross daily and deny yourself. And that's something that I felt very convicted of, especially coming from the New Age where it's all about self, it's all about you, it's all about what you want. And that was my conviction and what led me to Christ. It's like, I don't want to live for myself. And denying yourself just really, I don't know, that part, I just remember reading that and having this like light go off, this thing just like click inside of me, just like, okay, I get it, you know? And so this priest is talking about how in their church, they don't have like seats, they don't have pews or chairs. They have them around the edge, but it's like a reminder that, you know, when you are here, you're denying yourself for Christ. So if you're a little uncomfortable because you're standing for so long, it's like, well, remember what Christ suffered through. And, you know, you can deny yourself for a little bit and deny your comfort for Christ. And something like that just really caught my attention. Now, in the Coptic Orthodox Church, they have pews, but you stand and sit and you stand and sit throughout the liturgy. One thing that kind of happened with the Bible Church was, it was something personal, but things went wrong and I had really bad hurt from my small group, from my Bible study group. Things that were just handled in completely the wrong way and felt like it was horrible. I felt horrible. I was hurt badly. I almost, like, this was in this past February, and I almost was rejecting God. Like, I was hurt so bad. It was just bringing up all of the church wounds from my past. It was bringing up all of, like, the things that I felt that hurt me before. And so it was like new wounds opening up old wounds. And it just devastated me, it crushed me. And I didn't go to church for like a month. I was just isolating and really almost turned my back on God again from how much it hurt me. But I went through my little temper tantrum, and I eventually sucked it up, and I was like, oh, Mark was telling me, like, let's go to my church. Let's just go to Saturday night hymns and worship, and you can just go see it. So I was like, okay. And at first you walk in there, it's just incredibly different. It's beautiful. Like, it's beautiful inside of there. It's simple, elegant, but beautiful. I mean, you're seeing like the icons of the saints, and you're seeing at the altar, and the top of it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And then above that is an image of the upper room with the disciples and Jesus. And then above that, you're seeing Jesus on the cross. And I remember a time where I was sitting alone in the church and just in silence and stillness, and then just breaking down crying. And the way that God's presence helped me, the way that God's presence comforted me and healed me, just was like, this is where the Spirit will truly thrive for me. And since I've been going to that church, the fruits have been abundant. The Spirit has been just transforming me in a way that the other church, it just wasn't there for me. And I've been learning, and I've been going on this journey within this church, and I've been experiencing Christ in a way that has really restored so much of my past and so much of what is true for the Word and for God, and understanding what relationship with God really is and what it's like.
Thank you so much for sharing a little bit more, of course, about your church hurt story, as well as your experience essentially witnessing the love of Jesus within the Orthodox church that you attend, and really having that connection. I think that that's really important when people choose churches, is to make sure that it is a church where you feel the presence of God, because some person A may feel the presence of God at church A, but that doesn't mean that person B will feel the same way in church A. Everybody can feel the presence of God at different churches wherever they're called to, but it doesn't mean that in those other churches there isn't a presence of God or a presence of the Holy Spirit. It's just meant to be that individual experience. Where do I feel called to attend? And so I'm really glad that you found that within the Orthodox Church. Would you say that the Orthodox Church is similar to the Catholic Church in being more like traditional?
Orthodox Church came 300 years before the Catholic Church did, and it was the church that was started by Jesus' disciples. So this is, you know, very ancient, very original practices. And as I've learned, like, everything that they do, it is biblical from the Old Testament and the New Testament.
So we got a little bit of history. So I didn't know this, that the Orthodox Church was created 300 years before the Catholic Church. So that's very, that's very interesting. So there's some history for all of you history buffs out there. I love it. Well, Shelby, I wanted to thank you so much for coming on the podcast, sharing some vulnerable things, talking about your different experiences, especially coming from New Age and then transforming into your relationship with Jesus. I wanted to really just thank you for taking the time to come on the podcast today.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was so great. And, I just pray and hope that whoever this reaches, that that God truly loves you and he just wants your salvation.
And as always, the way that we close out around here, you're welcome to explore your faith here. Jesus always welcomes you home, and so do I. And thank you guys, and see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Through Every Season podcast. You can find new episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts on the second and fourth Friday each month. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook using the links in the podcast description. Do you want to come and tell your story or testimony? Fill out the drop form listed in the podcast description. We'll see you next time.